morning, let's open our Bibles. We'll begin reading in 1 Peter chapter 2. I mean, it's happy to be a Christian today.
Yes.
Amen. It's the best walk there is in life. It's the walk of the Lord. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll start reading at verse 6. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And I'd like to read for Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10, verse 8 through 11. Amen. Revelation chapter 10, verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book which is opened in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Amen. I just want to pray for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we are so thankful to know that you know each one of us. You know each situation that we're in. Lord, you know our successes, you know our failures, and Lord, we're just happy to know that when we stand before you as a mighty judge, Lord, that you assess us and everything around us properly. We're trusting, Lord, this morning that as you speak to us from your word, that you will speak to each and every heart, Lord, that you will call us to attention of your gospel, that we'd be that marching army, that church that is not out of line, but that church that is in line. And God, that you would just grant to us this morning the ability just to be caught up in heavenly places. Lord, that you would deposit great things into our walk this morning. We trust you, Lord, and we're asking God that you'd take this service and each one of us into your hands and just have your way today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning with the title of this, Final Growth. You know, to every plant, everything there is that grows, there is a final growth state that we have to go through. And so, you know, I'm kind of people say that I'm kind of a serious person, you know. I've been told that in the past that sometimes young people and different ones are kind of intimidated by me. I don't mean to be that way. I don't mean to intimidate anybody. I want to be your friend. And I want to do anything I can to help you. But I'm just a serious person. And, you know, if you knew my history of my growing up and things, I didn't always have good things that was going on around me. And so the Lord made me what I am. And so maybe I am serious. And so I have a tendency not to be anything but serious. But then, you know, we live in an age where, you know, Brother M said the spirit of America is laughter. Mm-hmm. Tell me a joke.
Right.
folly. And you know, we're all guilty of that. We catch ourselves doing it. We catch ourselves always cracking something to make everybody laugh, you know. And we believe laughter comes from the Lord. You know, it's not something voluntary. When something's funny, you just have to bellow it out. You know, same way with crying. If something hurts, you cry. You know, and so there's the laughter and joy and pain and sorrow. Those things are to be shared and felt among us with each other. But I don't want to be guilty of creating laughter in a time whenever it's not really a time when we should be laughing. You know, the scripture tells us there's a time for everything.
Right.
There's a time to laugh, there's a time not to laugh. And so I've never, in my own nature, been one to kind of want to be somebody that would sugarcoat the gospel. I can honestly say that I've not held back anything that I felt like the Lord wanted me to say, you know. I've never been guilty of saying, oh, I shouldn't say this because if I do, there might be consequences. I always try to tell you exactly what I believe is truth from the Word of God. And I want to do that today.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to be guilty of sugarcoating the gospel. There's never been a day that it was okay to do that, but it's certainly not now.
Right.
If we are in the hour where we're in final growth, and I know we are, and surely you know that too, then certainly you wouldn't want me to sugarcoat anything. When you go to the doctor, as Brother Branham said in marriage and divorce, you go to the doctor and you want him, and he has to speak plainly to you, and you want him to do so and to tell you just flat out what it is. Tell me what it is. Size it up. Tell me what I need to know. And so that's kind of the way it is. And so, you know, Brother Ram, even though once in a while he would say something funny behind the pulpit, but he always said, this is not a place to crack jokes. It's not. This is a place where judgment starts at the house of God, and it starts right here. And so I just want to tell you the truth this morning. So we read here in scriptures in Revelation chapter 10, we're all familiar with this, how that when the angel came down with the book, and that was the seven seal book, that at one point you and I couldn't even touch or even look on it. We couldn't even consider walking over just to glance at it. But we know through the opening of the seals, bringing forth the mysteries of God that would reveal to us our name, reveal to us our life. Once that has been opened, now you and I can know things that we couldn't even look upon at a previous time. We're familiar with that. But you see here in the scriptures, and we've went through this before, and I may not tell you anything you haven't heard before, but we know the Lord knows how to put things together.
Right.
And you know, my wife, she can cook, and like the rest of your sisters, and that's obvious, that you can cook, but you know, you can take different spices and put them together and make a totally different dish. And the Lord knows how to bring things in just exactly the way it ought to be, to where it means something and it hits where it needs to.
Right.
And so we know from the message and from the scripture we just read that John is a type of the bride. We've been disciplined to this message to know this. And when John was carried to the day of the Lord, that he was typing you and I. And when John began to take this book and eat it, that was an end time bride taking the seven seal revelation and beginning to eat that. That was John carried to this day to do that. And so we know that when John went forth and he took that book out of the angel's hand, and there was an angel who brought that to him, right, that was there, and he got it from this angel, that here at the end time there would be an angel that we would get the revelation of the seven seals from. Absolutely. You know what? The rest of the world can't talk about what we're talking about right now.
That's right.
You should consider yourself very privileged. A very privileged people to be able to hear the things that you've heard. Not because it's Brother Tony, not because it's Brother Daniel, but because it's God in the form of a message that has brought to you the things that you need.
Amen.
And you know what? You need to receive these things that he has brought to you for what they are.
Amen.
See, because we know that if a pardon is not received as a pardon, then you don't get the pardon. Right? But if it is received for what it is, then you get the benefits of it. And so when we know that when John took that book, that was us, that we are to take that book. And as the scripture said there, the angel told him it would be this way, that when he took that book and he began to eat, it would be sweet in his mouth, but it would become bitter in his belly. And we read there in the scriptures how that what that said there was that after he ate that and it became bitter in his belly, he was told, you must prophesy before all kindred, tongues, nations, and peoples. So now that lets you know that it's still a time for the Gentiles, because the gospel is still, the prophecy is still to be out there to all kindred, tongues, nations, and people. Once this bride is gone, It's to the Jews and the Jews alone.
That's right.
So you know that the bride of Jesus Christ, I still believe that there is a demonstration of the power of God in the bride that is to go to the world. Now, it may not go to the whole world, but it'll go to who God sends it to,
yeah.
Right? But there's still, according to this, there is still a mighty prophesying or a testimony of Jesus, as the scripture said, that the bride has to give to all kindred, tongues, nations, and people. And we say, well, we're doing that now when we go out and preach the gospel. Okay, I agree. But you know, there is supposed to be a quick, powerful, short demonstration of God in the midst of his bride. And so when we look at this, we realize that the sequence here that it shows there is that John ate the book, and it was sweet. And you know what? We've been doing that for many years. We've been sitting in messages, going to meetings. We've been just having a glorious time feeding on the wonderful things of the Word. And it's been glorious. It's great. I mean, it's been wonderful.
Right.
The fellowship and the revelation and the feeding and the things that we've had has been so wonderful. But you see, every scripture has to be fulfilled.
Right.
And so the very next thing thereafter, John ate that and said, man, this is good stuff. And we've been saying that for years. This message is good stuff. We've been saying that over and over. But the next step is that book, when he ate it, went down into his belly. It had to be digested. Now, the scripture didn't use that word, but I'm using it because you know when you eat something, guess what happens in your belly? Your belly begins to break it down, and it sends the nutrients to the places that it needs to go, and where your body's lacking here and it's lacking there, it sends the things where it needs to go. But before it can ever send it out there to where it needs to go in the body, it's got to be digested, absorbed, broken down, and into the nutrients that it needs to be. And so we realize that this, all this that we have had wonderful blessings with, it has been so sweet to us, there comes an hour. There comes a time where that has to be broken down in our spiritual being,
right.
And it has to go out into our spiritual members in order for us to be able to go out and prophesy properly to the world, to go out and take the testimony of Jesus properly to the world. We have to absorb those things, break it down, and get it out there where it needs to be,
right.
In order for the rubber to meet the road. And so that's the part where we don't like. We don't like the bitterness. I've never enjoyed having a bitter stomach. I don't know if John had a sour stomach, if it was like heartburn. I don't know. But the scripture said it was bitter in his belly because the angel said it would be that way, and it was. But see, in order for John to go and to prophesy before all kindred, tongues, and nations, he had to go through the sweet experience, and then he had to go through the bitter experience first. And then once he had that under his belt, then you can say he could properly go out and have that prophesying before all kindred, tongues, and nations. And so whenever we look at this and realize that the end time bride takes this book, she's got to absorb these things before she can ever fully present Christ to the world like she's supposed to. And so we know that bitterness has to come first, and then the digesting, then the ministry. This message to us is our birthright.
Right.
Now, I didn't read it just to save time, but you can go there in Hebrews chapter 12, and you see that the scripture said that Esau, for one morsel of bread, sold his birthright. Mm-hmm. Now, Esau had the birthright. Esau, you know, we talk about when God said, I'm going to take you out, I'm going to put you in a land that's flowing milk and honey. How that we've talked that in order for a land to be flowing with milk and honey, that one phrase shows you that they had everything they'd ever need. Because if you look at what it takes to have milk and what it takes to have honey, that means you got plenty of rain, you got plenty of crops and flowers and animals and the whole nine yards. Just a simple phrase, give me a land that flows with milk and honey. And you know what? God has promised that to you and I, spiritually speaking. He's promised to bless you physically too. But he's promised for us to have a land that's flowing with milk and honey so that everything you need, you'll have it in your spiritual walk.
Yeah.
And so they had this land and everything that at some point, now God had promised it to Abraham. But you see, Esau, he's Jacob and Esau, had that birthright. This was going to be his. Everything that God had given to Abraham, to Isaac to Jacob, or to Esau would have been Esau because he was firstborn. But he did not esteem that birthright highly at all. He esteemed it so low that he was willing to give it up for something temporary.
That's right.
He was hungry and he wanted just a something that would, and what he traded it for only lasted for a few hours.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. He was willing to give up something that was going to carry him and his seed line from then on out for all on out, however long they'd be on this earth. He traded that for a 3 or 4 hour belly full of food. For a morsel of meat, the scripture said. And so what an atrocity that someone would take something of such rich value and be willing just to trade that off for something just as simple as a temporary fix.
Yeah.
And that's what it was, just a temporary fix. But that's what Esau did. And so you know what? People today cannot cope without Satan's devices. They have traded the promises of God's word for everything in the world that Satan throws that makes them feel good for about 5 minutes or for 1 hour or 2 hours or 3 hours.
Right.
People are selling out the promises of God of eternal value rather than focusing on those things and letting that be what's important. They're trading that off for a 5 minute pleasure or a 10 minute pleasure or something like that. And so it's gotten to such a place, you know, when God has the virtues of life and the virtues of drawing and love and the things that would satisfy, he naturally has those things. Satan doesn't. So what Satan comes along, he has to produce all these things, and what he produces is death, and he has gotten humanity to where they are hooked on what he offers.
That's right.
They are hooked on Satan's dope. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Because people cannot cope. You know, I work with people, and you know, sometimes whenever I'm doing a job that allows me to put headphones in, I do. And you know what I'm listening to? 99% of the time, it's sermons.
Right.
The other time, it'll be Christian music.
Yeah.
But you know what? These other guys that I work with run around with headphones in their ears all the time, and they're not listening to the gospel.
Right.
They're listening to dope.
Yeah. Right.
That's right. And they're constantly feeding on that stuff. And you've got to this place where people cannot cope without something being shot into their system,
yeah,
into their veins, as it were, of worldly music, worldly thought, worldly entertainment.
Come on.
You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
They cannot. And if you take that away from them, they're going to go berserk. They got to have it.
Yeah.
But you know what? That ought not be in the Christians. It ought not be, especially in message people. We shouldn't be hooked on Satan's dope.
Right.
That's right. And you want to know if it's dope? Pull it away from them and see if they start having a reaction to
Amen.
It.
That's
it's dope.
Amen.
And you know what? It shouldn't be among us.
That's right.
We should be, if we should have a dope, it should be on the Word of God.
Amen.
On fellowship with God and His Word and His people around the things that God has delivered to us in this day. And so these things that God has given to us is birthright to us.
Yes.
Absolutely birthright. And so we know that to be the truth. But people don't want God's birthright. They're selling it out for something that's a 5 minute fix, and then they got to get something a little more, a little more, and a little more. And you know, it's that way. You take, I've never been a druggie, you know, but. You know, you take a little bit, and after a while, it don't do good enough. So you have to take more, just like cigarettes. I guess I could say I used to smoke. You know, but Brother Ben told us this. Say, come along with a gimmick,
yeah,
to put a filter on a cigarette.
Uh-huh.
You know? And all it was a marketing scheme to make more money,
yep,
because they would block some of the nicotine there with that filter. And to satisfy the nicotine devil, you'd smoke 3 or 4 cigarettes to get the same satisfaction. But you know, someone start out with one cigarette once every 4 or 5 hours. Next thing you know, they're smoking a pack a day,
yeah,
2 packs a day.
Come on.
See? Because this is the way it works. Satan will give you an app on your phone, but he won't stop there.
Yeah, come on.
It never stops there.
Right.
It always grows greater and greater, just like our experience with God. God doesn't stop. He takes us forward, and we just keep moving and growing in God. See? And that's the way it works. So, you know, this age ends up. And I'm gonna be talking to you positive here in a moment. But this age ends up in the stature of a perfect man. I'm talking to the believers.
Right.
It ends up as a stature of a perfect man. It ends up as a bride who's fully dressed for her wedding. Mm-hmm. That's right. It ends up with sons of God who are adopted. And it ends up with eagles that are flying. That's where it ends up.
Right.
So if God has influence on your life, this is where you're headed. The stature of a perfect man, flying eagles, a bride fully dressed, sons of God setting an adoption.
Right.
That's where. So if that's where we're headed, then ought we to expect and see in our own lives and in our own walk the things that are taking us in that direction? This is the thing that should be in Christians' everyday thoughts. Is God, what as Brother Daniel prayed this morning, what stone do I need to turn over to get me to where I can be that stature of a perfect man?
Yes.
Get me to that place where I'm fully clothed as your bride so I can walk down that aisle with you.
Yes.
What must I do to get the Father to adopt me and put me up and say, there's my son, listen to him because he's got it. What stone has to be turned over to make me get out of the nest and fly as a soaring eagle?
Amen.
What is it?
Right.
See, there's something there. And so this should be what we're concerned about. We should not be concerned about other things.
Right.
This is what we should be concerned about. And if we are in final growth stage, then everything's different. And I'll just go ahead and say it right now. So a plant, when a plant's growing, there's many stages where there's a lot you can see, and oh, it's shooting forth, and it's putting forth these, and putting forth that, and different things, and there's a lot of physical showing. But when it comes to final fruit time, final time to mature, in many cases, there's not a lot of physical change. And you know how Brother Ram tells us about the wheat that's going through the stages or whatever, when it gets down to the place where the wheat is there and it's covered with chaff, and he talks about the Pentecostal age is actually the shuck around it. And so now this plant is ushered into the heat of the summer.
Yep.
Not the blessings of the rain and the cool nights and those kind of things, but it's shoved right into the blistering hot sun. And you find out that the Pentecostal shuck just withers away and dries up along with the rest of the plant, just absolutely dries up completely where there's no life in it anymore, no, because all the life has went to the end to the grain.
Right.
And so the grain is sitting out there and there's not a whole lot going on there that you can see physically. But while that hot sun is baking and beating down on that grain and everything else is trying to take cover, that wheat is standing there and it's baking the greenness out of the wheat. Getting that wheat to where it can go to the garner so it can be raptured.
Right.
See? So even that's telling us that at the end, it's not glorious feel good. It's not wonderful things. It's no longer sweetness in the mouth. But it's the blistering hot sun to check and see who you really are. And if you don't have that genuine life in you, you're going to shy away from the strictness and the sternness of God's word and the sternness of the hour he puts on this earth.
Right.
It'll be rough to you and you'll want to run and hide. But if you've got wheat grain in you, if you are a wheat of God, you will not shy away from that. You'll stand there and say, God, get the greenness out of me so I can go home with you soon.
Amen.
That's exactly what we know to be the truth. And so this age ends up with all those things. And all of these revelations of these things that we're talking about, understand the eagles flying and the sons of God, all of those things are our birthright. Now, you know, a child, when he's born, and he's coming up and he's firstborn and he has the birthright as he's growing. He learns what's going to belong to him. He knows by the time he comes to full adoption where he's placed in authority, he already knows what land belongs to him. He knows what resources are there. He knows the authority. He knows the power. He's been trained. He's been taught. So he knows what belongs to him. And so he knows what his birthright is. He knows what his birthright gives him. the authority he has. Everybody follow me?
Amen.
He knows what's coming to him. And so when we come on, when we have these revelations that have come to us, we begin to realize what belongs to us. We realize that God has told us and shown us that it belongs to us that we can rise to the full stature of a perfect man. Now, I've said this many times, if Jesus was this tall, then the bride has to come up there to that same height. Or she's not full stature.
Right.
She must be flesh of his bone, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone.
Yeah.
She is him. Mm-hmm. So that the ministry of Christ and the ministry of the bride are the same. I'm quoting the prophet, okay? So we know that our birthright tells us that we have been given a right. This is your right to rise to that position of equality with Jesus Christ. Even Paul in his day, which knew things partly compared to our day, even Paul knew to say, let this mind be in you which was in Christ, who was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God.
Yeah.
Right? And he tells us. But definitely here at the end time, the message tells us it's time for you to let this mind be in you.
Right.
That you would know that you're on this earth in the form of God. God would be here, except he's here in you, appearing in your flesh. And it's not robbery for you to realize you're walking around being the expression of Jesus Christ to this world.
Amen.
Right? But that revelation will bring humility to you. It will not bring haughtiness. It'll bring humility, and it will bring obedience.
Right.
Obedience to the word, even in hard times.
Right. That's right.
See? So we know that to be true. And so we know what belongs to us, but there is a discipline that goes with every one of those things. To be the full stature of Christ, to be an adopted son, to be the bride fully dressed. There's a discipline that goes with every one of those things in order to be that. It's not coming easy. None of it comes easy. And so we want to be flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. Jesus was the fullness of God made known. The fullness of God had dwelt in him bodily. And of course, even in that, he had to grow in knowledge and wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He had to grow to the place where he had the revelation to know who he was. So he can say, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Right? He had to come to that place. Listen, and remember how Brother Bram tells us that when Jesus said that, he was saying that from the words of a man that was backslidden when he wrote it? That David wrote those things and said, thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. A backslidden man, because of his own sins and things that he had done, spoke that. And then Jesus Christ comes along, and as he grows in favor and stature and wisdom, and he grows in his experience as a man, being God manifest, God growing, God learning, God coming to the place where he's going to fulfill everything pertaining to him, that while he's learning, he learned to trust those scriptures to such a degree that even those words written by that man that was backslidden were true. Right? Because it was holy scriptures. And so Jesus said, destroy this temple in 3 days or I'll raise it up again. And so we have a discipline that goes with every one of these things. We have to have the goods.
Yeah.
No pretending.
Right.
You've got to have the goods. You can't just, I'm acting like I'm full stature when you're really not.
Right.
It won't work. See what I'm saying? You can't say, I'm an eagle, I can fly. Not if you really haven't come to that, see? And for adopted sons, to be a bride that's fully dressed. There's no playing. You can't just pretend like you've got a wedding dress on. You got to have it.
That's right.
See? So, you know, Jesus, being the full stature, he was Christ, he had to suffer some things. We have this idea, at least me sometimes, you know, well, if I'm really where I should be with God, why do I get sick? If I'm really where God, I've had the experience myself, just me personally, to be involved in praying for people who had moments to live, and God raised them up.
Yeah.
And then I've prayed for people in the same condition, and they died anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know Brother Brennan said he'd pray, if you pray for all these people and they would die, he'd come back the next day and preach divine healing?
Yep.
Because it's still a promise. And so sometimes you wonder, well, if you're, you know, if I'm where I need to, why would I have troubles? Well, that's probably, Brother Tim, just because you're having pains in your shoulders and back, that's no sign you're not a son of God. If anything, that's a sign you are a son of God.
That's right.
See? So I felt like reading this here. He said, Brother Ram said, remember Jesus, he never used his power on himself. He used it on others. That's what it was sent for. And you'd think somebody, or you would think sometimes, why would a man that was so much full of so much power like him would have to ever be sick? Yes, sir. I read some book somewhere where he had raised up that boy, the widow's son, from Nain. He said, I believe it was the Prince of the House of David was the book he read. That when he raised up that widow's son, that he sat on a rock and groaned with a headache, see? He bore our infirmities, and bear means to pack them, see? He had all things like we have. He had sickness, he had temptations, he had troubles, he had frustrations just as we have, because he had to be the right kind of mediator, so he had to be partakers, the husbandman of the fruit, before he would know. So Brother Graham is telling us there that in order for Jesus Christ to be the kind of mediator he needed to be, in other words, for him to stand on behalf of others properly, he had to have sickness in his body.
That's right.
He had to have headaches. He had to have hunger. He had to have thirst. He had to have pain. We know the scripture says, I thirst. We know it said he feared. He was a man, because if he wasn't like that, if he wasn't tempted in all points like we are tempted, then he could not be a right kind of mediator. So he had to suffer those things to be a mediator. Brother Daniel, you know what it's like to have back pain. You can intercede properly.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So we have to suffer things. And even though as we come to the place of maturity, where we're full measure of the stature of Christ, we're fully dressed bride, adopted sons, flying eagles, even in that condition, we have to still be subject to things that God gives us.
Yes.
Right? When he's ready, when God is ready for this thing to go, it'll go, and there's not anything we can do to stop it, right? Nor would we want to.
Right.
But we're not going to work up something and make it happen, make right. the rapture happen. Well, all we're going to do is stand, and even if we come to full maturity of Christ in us, but we're still standing there, and even though we might can speak the whole world into existence, we won't do it if God doesn't give us the okay to do it.
That's right.
You can't, see, when you get fully obedient to your Father, you can't step out of line.
Right.
See? And that's the thing, so don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. Just walk with God is the thing that you need to do. So, Jesus had to suffer all kinds of things, and yet he was obedient in him being the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He said, I won't do a thing unless my Father shows me first. And if he does it, then I do it. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane is where he won the victory. Because there's where he wanted that cup to pass from him as a man, but was willing to lay down his own fleshly, manly desire to say, Father, let thy will be done. And it cost him having to walk up Calvary and suffer those things he suffered. But the victory was won right there in that garden when he prayed. Right?
Amen.
If Jesus had to pray to get to that kind of victory in his life, then I imagine we probably have to do the same.
That's right.
That's right? And Satan knows that. That's why he fights you, so he don't want you to pray. But Jesus suffered those things, you know. To be a fully dressed bride, that bride knows that she cannot neglect her apparel. Now, when that scripture says that, it focuses on her apparel. That if she's going to be the bride of Christ, she's going to go into marriage, then she has to be properly dressed for such occasion. So the scripture focuses on her apparel. And I'm not talking about here so much out in the physical, but it does. It's natural type spiritual. But you see, your apparel is what people see, and your apparel needs to show that you are the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
Remember, as I said, if a man comes into a courtroom and he's wearing shorts and a half, a tank top or something, whatever, and he comes in there, and stands before the judge. Well, if I was a judge, I'd probably show him a thing or two.
Yeah.
But if he come in there dressed nice and was respectful, he'd probably get a better response from me. You know what? Today's generation can't handle what I just said. They think I'd be wrong. But you see, principles of life have been right all along, and they're still right. Even if the world rejects them, what's right is right and wrong is wrong.
Yeah,
right? And so to come before the occasion of a judge, the right thing to do would be to come there properly dressed with respect. And so same thing it is. When a church at the end time wants to be the bride of Jesus Christ, you better get ready. Because he's not going to let somebody walk down the aisle that looks like the rest of the world. She's got to have a garment on that looks different than everybody else, where everybody knows who she is,
Amen. Even
though they despise it.
Right.
But she's got to stick out. She has to be, as we read, a peculiar people.
Yes.
Peculiar to everybody else because she's different.
Right.
Not because we want to be different, but because he says, be different. Be therefore holy as I'm holy, right? That's what it says. So she has to be that way. She knows she can't neglect that garment. She knows that she's got to keep it spotless. She can't be rubbing up against the world, getting dirt and dust. My wife yesterday said, "What in the world you got on your shirt?" I don't know what I got against, but I had something on my shirt where my belly sticks out. But, she knows she's got to keep that garment white. She knows that she can't go over and plop down on the bed and get wrinkles, right? Because the scripture said he's going to provide for himself. He's going to provide this wife, this bride, without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. What is the such things?
Come on.
I might not be able to tell you what the such things are, but you know in your own heart what the such things are in your own life. Because you know what God is telling you shouldn't be doing.
Yep.
So you know such things. But the scripture said he's going to provide for himself that. And so she knows, listen, I can't have spot. I can't have blemish. I can't have it. But you know what? He's provided it for me. He's told me everything I need to do. So I just need to be obedient to what he's told me. Mm-hmm. And I have to be diligent to do this. I have to give attention to these things. So she knows that. Adopted sons realize that they've got to wait on that ceremony. Even though, as scripture said, even though they realize they're no different, that they are heir of all, but they're no different than a servant, as long as the Father says you're just like a servant. So sometimes, even though we realize that we've got a message in us that has called us to these things, that we are on the road of being adopted sons and daughters of God, that these things are coming to us, that we're on that road, even though we know that, we know we haven't reached that ceremony, so we still have to be out here and suffer things just like a servant suffers. We have to do things just like servants have to do it. See?
Right.
So what I'm telling you, what, as the world suffers the effects of coronavirus, so do we.
Uh-huh.
See what I'm saying? As Jesus had to groan with a headache, so do we.
Yeah.
There will come a time where we won't. And that time is in God's control. But between now and then, we submit our, even though we know that we have a message that's taken us over the top, we have to submit ourselves to the things that God has limited us to until he lets us go. Brother Ram tells us that we can speak a world into existence and go live on it, but God has laws that will control that to keep that from happening. But the time will come when he'll let us loose. He will. That's not to say that right now we can't have healings. We will. We'll have victories. We'll have healings and so forth. But you see, as the sun begins to beat down and be hotter and times begin to get heavier and worse and those sorts of things, then it's a time for us to turn inward and check our own lives, check our own heart, and see, am I a shark trying to pull away, or am I the grain that's saying, thy will be done? Let this pain, let this sorrow, let this difficulty work in me the thing that it needs to work in me. What are we saying? How are we responding to this heavy hand of God that we see? You know, I found out this week I'm going to be losing a lot of time from work. It's going to hit everybody. It's the hand of God, right? You may find out that man's done this. It's still the hand of God. Because God has disrupted everything. But he's made opportunity here for us that if people will look at that, they realize this is something God has done that if we handle it properly, it'll work great things for us spiritually.
Yeah.
But not if you waste your time on temporal things.
Amen. Right.
This is a time where we can really focus on things that matter.
That's right.
But I'm afraid people aren't doing that. Amen. Even I need to do what I just said. See, I'm telling you. And so, adopted sons have to wait until that ceremony time comes. And eagles know, you know, an eagle knows he can't have his nest on the ground. He can't be nesting down low where everything else is. You know, other birds, other nests, they run the risk of things of the world getting in there and destroying their nest and what's in their nest. But the eagles don't. Because they don't build down there in that nonsense.
Right.
They don't put their homes down there where these things matter. But yet, believers, supposedly believers in this message, they're still building down low.
Yeah.
But see, today's the day to change things.
Yes.
Today's the day to fix those things and say, God, I've made mistakes, but I'm giving it to you now, and I'm going to move in line. I'm going to get back in line and quit stepping out of line. I'm going to step in line, get back in line, and God, I'm trusting you to fix where I've messed up. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, flying eagles know that they've got to be up there. And you know, another thing, you know, eagles are clumsy on the ground. That's not their best place.
Yeah.
The best place for an eagle is not on the ground where they're walking around and their claws and everything's, if you've ever seen it, they just, the best place for an eagle is in the air. You know that. That's where they can really show who they are.
Yeah.
Any bird can walk around on the ground, but what can that bird do in a time of a storm?
Come on.
Think about it. What can we do in a time of storm? I done told you it ends up as flying eagles. So what can we do in this storm? What's it doing to us? Are we becoming more crippled and hobbling along because we're trying to stay on the ground? Are we letting the storm propel us up there into the things of God where we should be? Because an eagle can go right into the storm, and every time there's a storm, a wind that blows, it can just take that eagle that much higher. And he has eyesight to see when he gets there. Right? So eagles, the best place for him to be is in the midst of storm, in the midst of battle. And you know, I said the other day, I was talking last weekend how that God always goes forward. He used the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. Right? And that was throughout the ages, the anointing on the church. And when that early church went forth in the strength of the lion, we'd all go, amen, look at him, the king of the jungle. He's slaying them, boy. I mean, he's getting it done. But then God had to change his tactics because he had to have a church to take that seed and die in the ground so it could come up in a resurrection. We had it. We know that. And so he couldn't continue to conquer with the strength of a lion and then have dark ages.
Yeah.
If he'd have stayed with the anointing of the lion, conquering and conquering, he'd have never had the age of martyrdom. That seed would have never went into the ground. It would have went forth from the strength of the lion, and it would still be today with us, the lion. You see what I'm saying? But then there wouldn't have been that typology of that life of Christ being martyred, as it were, through the dark ages so it could come up as a blade, and then we couldn't talk about wheat coming to maturity. But God's plan was that, hey, he's going to conquer for a while, and then he's going to make it look like Satan has his win. So he had to change from the lion to the calf or the ox. And as I said, he doesn't turn when he changes tactics. He already had in his creature, in his living creature, it was a type of this. He already had in him all the faces that represented all the anointings that he was going to use throughout the ages. So when he was moving, the enemy was coming from the east, he would conquer it with a lion. But then the enemy said, well, I'll come from the west. So now he was approaching from this side. So he doesn't turn and go this way with the face of a lion. He just takes the face that's already there, which was the ox, and he began to move. That's why the scripture said those creatures always move forward, whichever way. They didn't have to turn as they went. So he could be the lion, but when he changed to another tactic to be an ox and be martyred, then he could just go the other direction. And so now the church is fighting an enemy from a different direction, and he was able to do it without even turning. Why? Because he's always going forward.
Yeah.
Now, to man, he would look and go, ha, look at that. He was so strong early on, but now they're being martyred left and right. God's a poor general. No, he's not. He was winning. He was going straight forward winning. And goes to from there to the lion, to the man, and then to the eagle. And I said all that, not to rehearse that again, but to tell you that now we've ended up at eagle time.
Right.
And eagles don't belong on the earth like the lion, the ox, and the man. The eagles can get into a territory that the lion, the ox, and the man can't be in. And that's where they're made for. They're made for that territory. They're not made to sit down here and try to debate the gospel like the wisdom of man.
Right.
The time of debate is over with.
Right.
See? It's now time to rise up under a prophetic message in the spiritual things of God and soar with eagle's wings. Prophetic.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, God is from the north, right? The scripture said the sides of the north. And so I look at that from a spiritual standpoint, and our battle is spiritual from the north that we're going to conquer as an eagle. So we know that. So eagles cannot be on the ground. They have to be up in the air. They're different than the rest. All of these things tell us that we've got to know who we are. We got to know who we are. To be the stature of a perfect man, to be the bride of Christ fully dressed, to be sons of God, adopted, and eagles flying in there. Every one of those require us to know who we are by revelation and then stand paddling. Because every one of those have their trials. Every one of those has their place where they come and they have arrived but can't use it yet. She has to be fully dressed, but she can't walk the aisle until he calls. See what I'm saying? Jesus Christ was fully man. He could have called for 10 legions of angels if he wanted to, but he didn't. But he could have. And so if we're flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, we come to the same place where this end time thing has taken residence in us and we are him. But yet we don't get to exercise it. Not yet. You follow me? Amen. So all these things tell us we need to know who we are and we need to be unmovable. These things tell us, you know, we, as we read in the scriptures, we're a chosen generation. We're not just a generation. We're a chosen generation.
Right.
That shows election. That shows purpose from somebody of a high authority. A chosen generation. Not just a priesthood, but a royal priesthood. That means kingly. That means royalty, the seed line. And you know, royalty is not just, you don't just take someone and make them royalty. Royalty is a seed line. It is the passing down to seed line because of their birth. We're a royal priesthood. We not stand, not just, you know, in other words, a king priest. Who is the king priest? Jesus. Priest and king. He's telling us now, you are priest and king. You're a royal priesthood. Amen. Royal priesthood. A holy nation. Not just a nation, but a holy nation.
Right.
Why is it holy? Well, just like Brother Ram said about when Peter said, when we was with him on the holy mountain, and Brother Ram has so many things that's in our way to straighten our thinking out so we know. It wasn't the holy mountain, but it was the holy God on the mountain.
That's right.
And if we are a holy nation, it's because God is with us.
That's right.
And without it, we wouldn't be. These are the things that the scriptures declare to you and I that we are. And we have to come to that place where we know what belongs to us, even though we can't use it just yet. Amen. (Clears throat) So the scriptures tell us we're a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, that we should bring forth praises to him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why? Because he called us. Because you weren't a people, but now you are the people of God. Said right. The scriptures are written. You weren't it, but now you are. So we have a lot to be thankful for. So even though we realize that these things, these birthright, it tells us what belongs to us, we have to submit ourselves to the Word of God and to all the things as a servant until he says it's time. You really think that when rapture time comes that we're going to hold him back? When he's ready for it, it'll happen. Right? It'll happen. And you'll be ready. You don't have to worry about it. Because he's the one that has started this good work in you, and he's the one that will perform it, as he said. You're not doing it yourself. Yes, and in all that, you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So, as Jesus was, as the disciples was, as everyone was, we'll be tested. And especially when you come to fullness, you'll be tested. And your test, because it's going to be bitter, your test is going to take you beyond feel good. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me when I say this, but we should not be coming to church to feel good.
Right.
Our experience in the Lord should be far enough along now that we could say, whether I feel good or not feel good, I'm serving God.
Amen.
We should be coming to church, and this is something we have to be weaned from because we've enjoyed the sweetness in our mouth. But you see, the process says, and the prophet told us the time would come. There's a squeeze coming. These things, this system is moving in that direction.
Yeah.
Constantly working the beast system, constantly working to bring that squeeze. You know they are. So the time will come when it's not just going to be down the street, but it's going to be at the door front. And when that time arrives, obviously God's people will be ready. But during that time, it's not going to be sweetness in the mouth. It's going to be bitter in the belly. And we're in that cycle now that we're realizing that we've got to digest the things that this message says. We can't just rejoice in it and say, oh, that's me. No, it's you once it comes in and you absorb it and it begins to be able to be lived by you. And living Christianity is not just enjoying the sweetness of the message. Because, you know, a crow can eat grain too.
That's right.
And then go eat nasty stuff. But the dove can only eat the grain. Follow me? The dove can only eat that because he doesn't have the whatever that thing is inside to do it. But the other birds, they can eat that plus. So just because people come to church and rejoice in the grain, that don't mean nothing. Right? But are they going out and feeding on other things?
Come on.
See? And here's what the prophet said. If he would try, if that dove would try to go eat filthy things, it'd make him sick.
Right.
And if you're eating on things of the world, something in you should be getting sick.
That's
and
right.
Telling you, this is not what I'm supposed to be eating.
Right.
Should be happening. And then you better listen to that, because if you keep eating that thing that's making you sick, you're going to get really sick. See what I mean? These senses that God gives us are there for our protection. My wife, I think she gets aggravated at me because I smell of everything before I eat it. And if it don't smell good, I'm probably not going to eat it. God gave me my nose for a reason. I use it. Right? I use it. So he gives us these spiritual senses. And if something isn't right, if you're a Christian and something don't feel right, get away from it. Quit pushing it to the side and going on.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? We'll never be in that final growth phase. We'll never go through and reach the top as long as we keep pushing to the side the things that the Holy Spirit is telling us. Look at this. Stop this. Take care of this. Get rid of this.
Yeah.
It'll never happen. We have to. So we're going to be pressed and tested beyond the feel-good, because what we should be coming to church for is you should be coming in the church door and saying, I'm here to stand in the presence of the hot sun.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Because grain cannot be taken, you know, it's taking the greenness out, because you cannot put grain in the garner while it's still got greenness in it. You can't. I may have said this before, but you know what happens when you put hay up when it's not dry enough? Mm-hmm. Your barn catches on fire.
Dry.
God cannot take, even though it's wheat, even though it's just like the original in the ground, if it's still green, he can't take it into body change. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that all the final growth has to take place here. The whole process has to be done before body change. Which is why Brother Brim said, and I said often, death does not change you, it just changes your dwelling place. That's all it does, it changes your dwelling place. So everything, the character that we're going to have there, we've got to gain here. We're not going to be halfway slough offs, not winning any battles, and then all of a sudden a sweep comes over us and God changes us, and now we're on the other side and victorious over everything. We have to reach that victory in our life now before body change. And you see that in this fact that wheat, the greenness has to be baked completely out before it ever goes to the garner. So all growth has to finish here. No growth on the other side, because that's eternity. And there's nothing. It's all the same. It's always been and always will be there. See, it's only in time that things have to grow and learn and gain. When you step there, you're back to that original. So all this growth and stuff we have in time has to happen in time before we go to eternity. See? So our experience, we have to have that fully, be that fully dressed bride. We have to be eagles that are soaring. No eagles in the nest are going in a rapture.
Right.
You follow me? All right. So all growth has to finish. So right now is a special time for us, because God has put an interruption on everything. He's done it. And it's for our good. And this is a time that we all need to search our hearts and search our experience and use this time for godliness in our life rather than more of worldliness. More of the things of the world. More of whatever we do in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, when Passover night come along, when it came that day, and it began to fall toward evening, and everybody knew this was Passover night. Tonight, judgment's falling. Tonight, there's going to be death out there. They all, as night began to fall, they began to make preparations. They begin to make sure that blood was on the doorpost. They begin to get the bitter herbs and the lamb roasted. They begin to get in the house, and all the family begin to come and gather underneath the safety zone. Why? Because it was happening. It was Passover night. It is time to make sure we gather underneath the safety zone. It is time. And I believe that if parents would do it the right way, I believe God would go out there and get their kids. That's right. Bring them in. We have this phrase right now that has become so popular, and I'd never heard of it before. Maybe they had in the infectious disease realm or whatever, but I had never heard of the phrase social distance. But how many has heard it now? How many has heard it 1,000 times? How many has heard it 10,000 times? How many had to practice it every day? Yeah, I'm not condemning it one bit. But you know, natural type spiritual? Social distancing, what are they telling us? Stay away from people so that you don't get infected with what they have. And we live in an age where we are bent on social media. And spiritually speaking, God is saying, separate yourself from the influence of others. Think of how ridiculous it sounds of people following people. Sheep following sheep.
Right.
Sheep following goats. And that's what it is. So in this hour, and only the bride can catch this kind of thing to realize this, but In a time of physical social distancing, God is saying to us, I want you to spiritually social distance. Stop being fed and influenced by man when I'm your Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And last check count I had, God don't have a Holy Ghost Facebook page or Twitter account or a YouTube channel. He's got his own communication. Personal, secret room experience for every believer.
That's right.
And yet every believer is wasting that eternal blessing for temporal things. And this is what God is telling us. Because social distancing, let's socially distance from the spiritual influence of things other than the Word of God.
Right.
And that's right. The scripture tells us, and I didn't give it to her, Isaiah 5, chapter 5, verse 8. But the scriptures tell us, woe be to those, if she wants to bring it up, woe be to those who join house to house. And I always talk about this being cities. Woe be to them that join house to house, that lay field to field, that there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Woe be to the situation where people are so crowded together that you can't even find a place to get along with God. It's right there.
Right.
But you know what? And the world is full of places, but you know what? There's still places you can go physically to get along with God. But, you know, years ago it used to be that if there was a man that had a devil on him, he could write a book, and it would take a few years, but he could get a worldwide following with a book. But it would take a while. But now one person can post something one time, and by the end of the day, half the world is anointed with that spirit that person had.
That's right.
So even though physically there might be places you can go, but because of the influence and because we're so caught up in all these devices of man, how easy is it for you to separate from that and get along with God? We have joined house to house spiritually or social media wise and the influence of man. We've joined house to house so much and field to field till now, in our own experience, it's almost impossible to truly get along with God.
Right.
And the scripture said, woe be to that.
Amen.
Woe. Because he's your Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Not those. Not that stuff. You know, it's like, you know, Brother Ram tells us, okay? He tells us about TV. He says he wouldn't have one. Blow the thing out with a shotgun. And, you know, we come along and say, well, you know, it can be used for good, it can be used for bad. I'll just use it for good. I understand the intent, but, you know, it's even worse now with phones and all the stuff that's now. It's way beyond the TV programming. And Brother Ram condemned the TV thing because it was programs that were uncensored. And because people would stay home and watch that instead of going to church, instead of praying, instead of spending their time with God. I ask you, what about your phone?
Right.
What about the things that your computers and the games and all the stuff you do? Does it keep you from praying?
Right.
Does it keep you from having your mind on God?
Uh-huh.
Has it got you such to a place where you're house to house and field to field and you can't get along with God because the influence of it is so strong there? Think about it. I have this vision in my mind of a Christian, a believer on the top of a mountain. It's got steep walls there, and he's up there on top of that mountain. And there's enemy down below, and they're trying their best to get to him. And they start putting ladders up, climbing like that. And every time he's on top of that mountain, every time he reads the Bible, and ever gets down in prayer, the holy oil from God comes down and floods him, and he goes over the top of the mountain and starts flowing down the mountain, and the mountain's so slick that the devils and the people trying to get to him can't even get to him. Why? Because the oil is flowing down the mountain, and it's slick, and they can't get to him. But every time he stops praying and stops seeking God and begins to sit and watch TV, they start building them ladders, and they get higher and higher and higher because through those things, the enemy comes. You know, you take a card, and somebody can write a card, and it's pretty, or a book even. It's kind of limited as to what spirit can get through that to you. But you take TV or phones with videos and all that. You got music, spirits. Mm-hmm. You got image, spirits.
Right.
You got language, spirits.
Yep.
You got dresses, dress apparel, spirits.
Yep.
Deadly. Deadly. And it has such a pull. And Brother Brennan said, and you know what? I don't think it was because when Brother Brennan said, I wouldn't have that thing in my house. I don't think Brother Graham said that because he felt like he wasn't Christian enough to overcome it. But I think he's trying to tell us of the power and the pull that it has on us to pull us away from the things that we ought to have our mind on and the time we ought to spend our time doing.
Right.
So we do have this before us to deal with. To join house to house to such a place that we can't even get along with God. And yet God has said, okay, I'll help you with this. I'll help you with this. I'll let this thing happen. I'll let the enemy put this upon you. And guess what? When you didn't have time, I'm going to give you some more time so you can have time. Because what's in you is what you're going to do.
Yep.
And if I give you more time to spend time with me and it's not in your heart to do it, you'll spend more time on social media instead.
That's right.
You'll spend time watching Disney or something instead.
Right.
But if you really have a heart for God, that time will be spent getting closer to God. Now, while that's happening, rest assured, Satan's going to do everything he can to put up a fight right at that time. So maybe you in your home, you want to spend more time in devotion, but watch Satan rear up at it. Mm-hmm. That's where we've got to know who we are and be pat and say, I'm not moving. And I know what belongs to me. I can have access to God in this testing, trying hour. Because God's providing these things for us.
Yeah.
So he can give you more time, give you more ability to get in under the token.
Yep.
Right? So, don't be surprised if your internet providers and your phone service providers don't come along and give you some extra gigs in this time of trouble.
Yeah. Right?
Give you a little more time to feed the flesh.
Yeah.
That's right. Social distancing. You need to get along with God. Jesus had to do it. Get into the secret place that he's given us. He has, by this message, provided us a secret place. It's a place the world can't go. And the enemy can't get you. But you got to get in that secret place.
That's right.
And just remember, Jesus said, when you get into the secret place with God, he'll reward you openly. So maybe you don't have, maybe you've got some loved ones, some kids, some children that's astray. Well, get in the closet, get in the secret place. He'll reward you openly. That's where it starts. It always starts in something small and grows something bigger.
Yeah.
That's right. It has to start with a dedication and a standing in your position. Say, I'm not moving. I'm moving forward in God, even if it's just an inch, a year, or whatever it is. I'm moving in God. And the Lord will reward you openly. You say, I want to be there for people. I want to be there to help them in this time of trouble. The best thing you can do to help people is to get along with God. And he'll make sure that you are what you need to be for those who need you. So don't let this time of social distancing separate you from God or from his word or from his promises. That's what Satan wants to do. Remember? Satan meant it for good, or God meant it for good, but Satan means it for evil, right? Many times things happen like that, and what Satan wants to do to harm you, God uses it for good, and vice versa. It's God will use it for good. Satan will come along and try to make something bad out of it. As God begins to pull the stuffing out of the nest, I said lastly, hold on to the things of this world very lightly. But as God begins to pull the stuffing out of the nest, make sure you're not holding on to the stuffing and doing tug of war with God.
Right.
You know, when a woman, Brother Graham talks about a woman who's old and she's dressing young and he's trying to look young, and he says she's living life looking in a rearview mirror. She's trying to look and trying to be something she was when she was younger. And he said, anybody looking like that's going to wreck up.
That's right.
That's right. And when the light, the pillar of fire would move on, people had to move with it. And when it would stop, they had to stop. And what I'm saying is that when God says it's time for you to get out into the things spiritually you should be, and I'm going to have to remove things that's going to make it uncomfortable for you in this life, don't fight him. Go with it. Like the woman who's aging, age gracefully. Accept it. Accept the fact that you're going to have wrinkles. Accept the fact that you're going to have gray hair. My wife says, I'm not doing it. Accept those things. Accept it. Why? Because it's the process. And we know as eagles in the nest, and God has flown above us and shown us that prophetic power, and we're like, I want to be like that. I want to be what God said. I want to see Jesus Christ manifested. Don't we all? Yeah. Then when he starts pulling the stuffing out of the nest, don't fight him. Don't try to figure out, well, I've lost hours of work. I'm going to go find another job to offset what he did. How about just drawing back on your expenses and saying, I'm going to spend this time with my family and with God. Don't fight it. When he comes to shear you, let him take the extra wool off of you, because it's for your good. See? If we fight this and we just keep on and we keep going, and no, I got to maintain my standard of living. Listen, the company I'm working for, and I hope nobody listens to it because I might get in trouble for saying this, but, you know, very profitable company in profitable times, but we've got a worldwide pandemic now. The markets everywhere are down, and they still want to keep their numbers up. And got billions of cash. See what I mean? The thing to do is go with it. And that's what I'm saying to us. Go with it. When God says, I'm going to pull the stuffing out, let him. Oh, but it doesn't feel good. Okay, that's fine, but let him. Because he knows what he's doing. And he's doing something better for you. And you'll be better off, and we'll all be better off when it's done. Listen, I said a while ago about coming to church. We don't want to come to work, church to feel good. We do come to church. We do feel good listening to the word and so forth. But number one, we should say, God, bake the greenness out of me. Yes. Peel the hide off of me if you have to. And I know that there's brothers and people in the church already saying that. God, do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where we ought to be, because we have spiritual sense enough to know that something's got to change. We can't go on just like we are. And as blessed as we are, we've got to go through that threshold, like I spoke of last week, birth pains. But once that birth takes place, it's alive, and you'll never be back to what it was before the birth. See? When that resurrection happens, you're no longer dead, and you'll never have to go back to that, because you're resurrected. And we all need resurrections in our life daily.
Yes.
And there's birth pains that comes in our life. And right now is a good time for the bride of Christ to have birth pains and birth into something greater with God. And so let God do that to you. When you sisters have had your babies and you go on and they start giving you medicine that brings that on, don't fight the contractions. Go with it, right?
Yeah.
I didn't hear any sisters say that, but... Go with it, right? Let that natural thing that's happening, it'll get the job done if you go with it rather than fighting it. So don't fight God. Go with it. Say, Lord, peel me. I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to try to figure out a way to buy me a new truck in this time. Or, you know, let him reduce your living standard. Let him reduce of your ability to go and be in the freedom that you have, and convert that to time with God,
right,
and with things that are not temporal, but things that are eternal,
amen,
things that matter. Because the time will come when they may shut the doors to church. We know that. I won't say may, I'll just say they will, because Brother Ben said, the time will come, they shut the doors to church. Where are you going to be then? Because
yeah,
if they do that, they're probably not going to be able, I'm probably not going to be able to come and visit with you, and Brother Ben is probably not going to be able to come. So where are you going to be in your walk? Your walk has to come to the place where you don't need preacher anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that'll be at the end, you understand? Because the scripture said he's put in apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist until we come to that perfection, right? So there comes a time when they shut the door, but as we know, when they shut the doors, that maturity level should be there.
Right.
And you won't need me.
Yeah.
And you won't need Brother Dan. Why? Because you will have made connection at that time with God. And if you haven't at the time, you will shortly thereafter, because you'll have to. See? But our experience does not hinge off of how much fellowship we get to have with each other. It shouldn't, right? We know we love fellowship we have with each other, but the main thing is our fellowship with God. And if something happened and we could never meet one another ever again, we'd still be believers and still be walking in victory.
Right.
And together on the other side. You see what I'm saying? Our experience has got to come to that. Well, we're Pat. We know who we are, and it doesn't matter what's going on. We know who we are. So we'll go with it. Let God do the pruning. Let him do the shearing. And as he does these things, rejoice. Because you know he has called you into his marvelous light. Amen? And the Lord bless you. Just remember, final growth period. And that's what I want too. And it seems like the harder you want it, the more Satan tries to prevent it. But he's a sore loser. He always has been. And you just let the musicians come. As we pray and we begin to move into the closing of the service, I'd like to ask the church to move their mindset with what you've heard into a time of prayer. We want to have prayer for Brother Tim and anyone else who wants to have prayer. And I want us as a church to bind together as believers, as a local body, of a body and bride of Christ, to ask of his mercy, ask for his promises, his healing, his presence, his ability to wipe away our failures and our sins, to allow us to enjoy his healing among us and his presence among us. As we pray for those who want to have prayer, I want the whole church to join with us in that prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, this morning. And I have delivered, Lord, what you put on my heart. I've said everything, Lord, that I believe that you would have me to say. And so now, Lord, it belongs to the people, and it belongs to you. It belongs to the Holy Spirit to work in their lives and for them to process. And I'm asking, God, that you would touch them and give them the ability, Lord, just to take these things. And as I said, to look at our own experience and check it. Lord, if there's changes that need to be made, rocks that need to be turned, Lord, that they would just be able to do that. Use this time, God, to be reaching out to you and to just pull that much closer together with your word. Asking God to bless them that way. We love you, Lord. We just want you to have your way. We ask you in Jesus' name. scripture says, if you hunger and you thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. But you know, generally people get what it is they're looking for. If you got a real hunger down inside, then don't let Satan rob you of that hunger. You just take that and use it. We're not going to skip over this hour. We can't change the hour that we're in, and we wouldn't want to, but let me remind you before we go that Brother Branham said this was the greatest hour. This is the golden age. He called it a golden age. And I would say that within the message, within the time frame of the message, we now entered into a golden hour in the message. Amen. So as we go, I just want to send that with you just to believe God for the utmost and know that He wants you to social distance from the world. Stand and we'll worship the Lord. And you know what? Worship Him.
Amen.
Don't run off, but you know, just worship Him, you know, because He inhabits the praises of His people. Man, Paul and Silas, they begin in a worse situation than we've ever been in. They begin to sing praises to God. And look what happened. People were saved because they begin to sing and praise God in a rough time. So during this time where everything's rough, you sing praises to God and see if He doesn't move and people be brought to Him. Amen. Let's sing this. Make this a confession.